Amen. All right. Thank you for putting up with this more awkward situation, but the antibiotics are really doing a number on my intestines, so I'm probably going to have to put it on mute after the message and let Rolando continue leading the prayer requests and praise times and then the prayer time. Okay. Would you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13? Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. A number of years ago, someone shared with me their feelings of frustration and failure because they did not have much opportunity to use the gifts God had given them for serving him. I've thought about that since then and studied the scriptures and believe the Lord would have me share with you the results of that study for your encouragement. This will be more of a bare bones outline that I trust the Lord will use to encourage you to think about and study these truths further. This benediction that I just read to you from Hebrews talks about doing God's will. The title I've given to this devotional is God's will for us is not just do, but also be. God does want us to do certain things. In other words, do the things He has commanded us to do. He wants us to pray. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. He wants us to witness to unsaved individuals. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So he wants us to pray. He wants us to witness to unsaved individuals. Thirdly, he wants us to read and listen to his word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Revelation 3:22. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And of course, you realize that the Holy Spirit is the author of the scriptures as he moved in 40 different men to write these scriptures. He wants us to give to the Lord from what he has entrusted to us. Fourthly, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Fifthly, he wants us to faithfully attend the meeting times of our church. By the way, this also means that you should be here in mind as well as in body. In other words, listen attentively to the preaching. I remember as a kid in different meetings that I attended forcefully, but I would have my mind wandering and inventing something to make or thinking of a book I had just read. And my mind would wander. I was not paying attention to the preaching. So, attending the meeting times of our church means attending to the preaching of his word, especially. Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We could go on and list specific things the Lord wants us to do, but I think you get the point. However, not only does God want us to do certain things, He also wants us to be certain things. In other words, be what He wants us to be. He wants us to be lights in this world. Matthew 5:16, I hope you've memorized this verse. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In Philippians 2:15, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So, what does it mean to be a light in this world? It means to be holy. God is light, and His holiness is His glory. Isaiah 6, verse 3 says this, and one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says this, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Revelation 21, verse 23, and the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. Be sure you start your day with the Lord in prayer and in His Word. Ask Him for His grace to live a life of holiness before others, and then depend on His grace, His enablement to live it. By the way, this begins with going to bed at a decent time and getting your needed sleep so that you will be refreshed and able to spend time with the Lord before you start your day. The hymn writer put it this way in the second stanza of his hymn, take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him, thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. God not only wants us to be lights in this world, He wants us to be salt. Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. What does it mean to be salt? It means to have the characteristics of salt in your life. Salt preserves things that would rot or corrupt. And as is pointed out in that verse, salt especially brings out the flavor of the food it is added to, in moderation, of course. So make sure the characteristics of salt are found in your heart and life. In regard to its preserving characteristic, hold back the moral and spiritual corruption that is in the world around you by your godly and active influence in your contacts and relationships with others. In regard to its seasoning characteristic, bring the savor of life, the Christ life, to every contact with others, whether they be saved or unsaved. They should learn more about the character and qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ as they see you interact with them and as they see you react to the circumstances of life. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 tell us this, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, that is, the unsaved, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. In other words, seasoned with the savor of Christ, words that Christ would say in that situation. God not only wants us to be lights and salt, He wants us to be an attractive fragrance. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15, for we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. This is closely related to being salt. As you're probably aware, the only capability of our taste buds are to distinguish salty, sweet, sour, and bitter. All the thousands of fine differences in flavors we taste in food actually come from our olfactory nerve, in other words, our sense of smell. But our nose does not only serve our sense of taste, it enables us to smell flowers and perfume and a host of other pleasant things. By our kindness, graciousness, joyfulness, and peacefulness, others should be able to smell the perfume of Christ-likeness in our attitudes, actions, and words. All these things he wants us to be may at times include words and actions, but will always give off an aura, a fragrance, an attitude, a joy, and a peace that those around you will sense, probably unconsciously. They will sense it most powerfully when you have died to self and are consistently submitting to the Holy Spirit's control of your thoughts, your words, your actions, and your attitudes. Sometimes God, in his perfect purpose and wisdom, may withhold our ability or opportunity to do something, but we always have the ability and opportunity to be what he wants us to be. Let me illustrate this. You may be incapacitated by illness or physical infirmities or handicaps, whether temporary or permanent. Perhaps this illness or handicap prevents you from doing some things you could do before, whether to play a musical instrument, speak, sing, you name it. However, if you continue to be joyful, display Christ-like attitudes, gentleness, patience, love, kindness, etc., and put Christ first in everything, God can use you to influence everyone who comes in contact with you. By the way, this can take place even if you don't have face-to-face contact, even through what you write in an email and in a letter. Your Christ-like spirit will show through. Another illustration, perhaps in the future, you may be limited in your contact with others because you are imprisoned for the cause of Christ, or right now you may feel like you're in prison. Dad and Mom never let me go to fill in the blank. They never let me be with fill in the blank, etc. Or my kids tie me down so that I can never fill in the blank. You may be feeling imprisoned by having a sickness or whatever. As I said, whether you are imprisoned for the cause of Christ or whether you feel like you're in a prison, you can still be Christ-like in your spirit and words and day-to-day habits and choices to the point that you will be an influence for Christ to your family members and the few people you communicate with by email or letter or phone or video chat. By all means, look for God-given opportunities to do what God wants you to do. But when those opportunities are not available, keep being what God wants you to be. You'll find that God will use your life and testimony, your Christ-likeness, to influence others toward the Savior in ways that you cannot imagine. Let me leave you with that wonderful benediction I read for us at the beginning of this devotional in Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to just have a little word of prayer here, and then I'm going to turn it over to Rolando, and I'll mute myself so that Rolando can be heard on the laptop. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this benediction that is recorded for us in Hebrews. Lord, I pray that it would be a reminder to us to do what you've commanded us to do and to be what you have commanded us to be. I pray, Father, that the things that we've considered tonight would stay with us and that you would bring them to our mind when we're in the situations that we described. Lord, I pray that you would encourage everyone who is either here or listening on Zoom or even later on our website. I pray, Father, that you would draw them close to you, encourage their hearts, give them grace, enablement to do and be what you commanded us to do and be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.